We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Ron Coomer, Chicago Cubs radio analyst.
Unbelievable.
1999 American League All-Star.
You might expect Wells to mix his pattern up. I mean, Coomer has owned David Wells.
This might work out.
The Coom Dog, every week with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Their game plan and what we saw on film earlier today, they are doing exactly what they were trying to accomplish here early in the game.
I know that coffee spill got into my head. Here's the pitch, a swing and a miss by Descalso, and the count is 0-2.
I don't know about my head, but maybe my shirt.
You live real close to a dry cleaner, though, don't you?
I do, yes, I do.
That'll come in handy.
The Erie Cleaners will be getting another visit from me tomorrow.
Mully and Haw. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That's great.
Ron Coomer joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, Ron. How are you?
Morning, Ron.
I'm better now that I got a coffee-soaked shirt off.
We have about 10 texters checking in on the spilled coffee. It's hysterical.
What happened?
Well, I use earbuds, as you guys have seen in the booth, just, you know, instead of headphones, just earbuds, because I have issues with my right ear hearing, so they work much better. So I take them out every inning. Well, I took them out, put them on the desk, and then went and got a cup of coffee, piping hot, full cup, of course. And, you know, being the guy that's supposed to have good hands and doesn't spill, I set it on there on my desk without a lid on it, which is very poor broadcasting skills and management, as I should say. And it went on the cord of my earbuds, and I just went to put them on, and yep. Winner. Winner.
It happens.
Well, you can't hear it. You did a great job of covering. Unfortunately, your partner mentioned it. Otherwise, you'd never have known.
You know, if you can't have fun with each other in the booth, then what the heck? I mean, seriously, I spilled coffee all over my scorebook, all over everything. Zach's running down. He's got a thing of paper towels the size of a football running down. It's just, and Pat's just going along, and, you know, there's home runs. You know, and
it was a hot coffee.
Mike on, Mike off. Cup. Yeah, it was a mess.
But that was the only suspense last night. I mean, you know, you come into a game and you score runs like they did in the first inning, and you got to feel great about it. You get everything loaded up, and you sit back and you enjoy a nice win. And how about Quintana, huh? This guy is the Cubs won the trade, Ron. We're looking at it every time he pitches, and today, again, it feels like they won that trade.
Well, this is the guy – well, here, the very first start he had, if you guys remember, in Baltimore, right after the All-Star break, was as good a pitch game as you can pitch in the big leagues without throwing a no-hitter or a perfect game, or, you know, where it's just a conventional ball game, nothing, you know, record-breaking other than when you just look at a guy, you go, oh, my. If we get that every day, we're going to be really good, and this is going to really help us. And he's been doing that. He's been on attack. And when he has confidence, and I don't know if confidence is the right word, but when he feels it and he is on attack and he's throwing strikes early in the count, his breaking ball, he got some big swings and misses by the breaking ball. And I really feel whatever they're doing with him and with his changeup, all of a sudden his changeup now, instead of being kind of straight or actually cutting, is going away from the right-handed hitter. Very effective.
Mm-hmm.
He's been awesome. He really has.
You know, Ron, Javi Baez had a video that went viral last night because of what he did at first base and eluding the tag, and that was great, and it's fun, and that was El Mago at his best. And yet, he also hit a home run in the opposite field. And what I'm getting at is that when I've heard you talk about this before, when Javi's hitting well, when Chris Bryant begins to hit, when guys hit, they go the other way. They go with the pitch, and it seems like you talk about that a lot. Why is it so hard for hitters to grasp that idea? Or do you think that it's something that they know, but they just aren't always executing to the best of their ability?
I think there's a bunch of different reasons, and there's no one reason for everybody, David. There are times where you get game plan and you get certain pitches by a team that you can pull, and then all of a sudden you miss your pitch, and then you end up swinging at their pitch, and so it looks like you're out in front and you're looking to pull everything. Well, really, you missed the pitch that you needed to hit. And we used to talk about that a lot in the big leagues years ago amongst the hitters, is when you're facing good pitching, you can't miss your pitch. You can't foul it off. You can't take it. You got to hit it, and you got to put it in play. And I think that's what's happening with Kyle Schwarber right now. I think that's what's happening with KB right now. It's also what's happening to Almora right now, is when they're getting their pitch to hit, they're not hitting it. They're missing it. Whether they're taking it, whether they're fouling it off, or they're not putting it, their A swing on it, and they're not doing anything with it. But the pitch is the pitch to hit. For Javi right now, he has a much bigger zone to make great contact because he's using the other side of the field. And if those guys would do that, their zone for hitting balls would be much bigger. You know, that's why when you look at guys that have led the league in hitting for years, how many of them come to mind that use the other side of the diamond, right? There's a lot of hits over there. And when you've got power like Javi, KB, and Schwarbs, for me it just makes sense in Wrigley Field with the short gaps to use the other side of the diamond. And Javi's doing it. If he continues to do this, I don't see how he's probably going to be the MVP with all that he can do on the field.
Ron, I was driving in this morning and I talked to a friend of mine, and I don't want to betray a confidence and identify him as Dustin Rhodes, our executive producer, but he believed that the strikeout was so bad by Schwarber that he said he looked lost at the plate and needs to go down. That's how bad that at bat was. And I thought that might be a little harsh, but Schwarber did, he just had this look on his face. It was confounding.
Yeah, and you know, hitters get that way sometimes where there is multiple reasons, right? Because you got men in scoring position, you got to put the ball in play. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of reasons why he's so frustrated. For me, it just seems like early in the season, his game plan was strictly towards left center field. And then all of a sudden he hit a lot of balls that way. Some of them were caught and it gets really frustrating. And right now he's back out in front again, hooking a little bit. And once again, you know, it looks that way as the at-bat continues because the pitch that you need to hit, he's not hitting. So, you know, this is, you know, pretty – when we would analyze hitting years ago and you'd watch a particular pitcher, you'd say, okay, if I'm going to do any damage against this guy – this is the pitch, and you got to be ready for it, whether it's the first pitch or the seventh pitch of the at-bat. You better be ready, and when he throws it, you got to hit it. And I think that's, you know, that's been some of the issue. You know, we may not talk about that a lot, and I don't talk about that a lot in the air. That's part of the issue.
Ron, last night, Jose Quintana was, I thought, ready to come out of the game, and then Tommy Haudovy goes to the mound right before he faced Muncy, and Joe left him in the game, and he got him out, and it was faith that was rewarded. Do you think Joe Maddon is more willing to stick with starters this year deeper into games? Is that going to be a trend that you think continues, or is that just a product of the starting pitching has been very consistent lately and they've earned the benefit of the doubt?
David, I'd be lying if I told you I knew. I thought in the game yesterday, I was staring a hole through Joe from our booth, seeing what he was going to do just to help Pat in the broadcast, right? Just the mechanics of how you broadcast the game. Mm-hmm. And when Tommy put his clipboard down and he started to go out, I just kind of smiled. I didn't say anything on the air, but I thought that was a really cool moment in the game, if you're paying attention, and you were obviously, that he sent Tommy out there, and Tommy went out to talk to Q and give the veteran pitcher a chance in the seventh to get out of his own issue and finish that inning. I thought it was a great move. It did pay off at the end, mm-hmm. but I also think your starting pitchers as a core group love that. I mean, you talk about earning points, and then when it works out to their advantage you know, and they get out of the inning, it pumps up the whole team. So I thought that was a great move by Joe. And, you know, quite frankly, you got a bunch of veteran pitchers, you know, in the rotation. Go ahead and let them go. I think it's great. They're pitching well, and you let them go.
Maybe it's unfair, but we did look at this series before it started as sort of a measuring stick, which is absurd this early in the year. But the Cubs had won, and you were thinking, well, was that due to the opponent? And now they're stepping up in class a little bit. So now they get this game. How important is it just for their own psyche to win this series?
Big. I do.
Yeah.
Well, Mikey, I think you're right. You always talk about when you're playing, you know, well, I play every game the same. I played a long time. That's BS. I wish I could say that, but there's series that have that. They just carry more charisma to them, right? They have this buzz around the stadium, and then when the Dodgers come to town now, so we've played them in the playoffs so much, they just carry that. And the Cubs got off to a bad start, but you know who else took their lumps too? Were the Dodgers. They lost six in a row too, so they're also a team that's kind of trying to figure themselves out. They have a bunch of guys that aren't hitting. They have a handful of guys that are hitting really well. They've got some bullpen issues at times, so they're trying to figure themselves out too. But at the end of the day, I think both clubs think they're going to the playoffs, and both clubs think they should go to the World Series and win a World Series. So that's what's great about these series. And you could just feel the buzz around the ballpark and in the broadcast booths and just talking with, you know, like Rick Monday and some of their guys in Oral about what's going on, you know, with their team and our team. You could feel that.
Great stuff as always, Ron. Really appreciate your
Thanks,
time.
Thanks, Ron. Careful with the coffee.
Hey, guys, I just want to say one thing. David, great article this past week with Ryan and Tanner. I've got to see both of those guys this week. That was an awesome article. Cubs are very fortunate to have those two young guys working, and you captured it perfect, buddy, so thanks.
Thanks, Ron. Thanks for your help with that story, too. You do a great job out there, and it's funny. He's talking about a story column I wrote in the Tribune for Tanner Salinas and Ryan Rucci. They are our guest service employees for the Cubs, and they both have cerebral palsy. And both those guys in separate interviews talking to them, I said, you know, who are guys you regularly see around the ballpark? Any, you know, Joe Maddon, Theo. And they said, you know, and they both mentioned Ron Coomer.
Sure.
And how Coom comes up to them, goes out of his way, and he has befriended both those guys. And it just says a lot about the kind of guy Ron Coomer is as well. So thanks a lot.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Baez
will make it. And Dave Roberts will argue he went out of the baseline, but no call made.
Yeah.
Two umpires looking at it. Chad Whitson at first and Ted Barrett at home plate, and neither guy made a call. So Dave didn't get the answer he wanted from Chad Whitson, so he'll check with Ted Barrett. This is the, you call customer service, and they don't give you the answer that you want, so you ask to talk to a manager.
It's only you and me, and we just disagree.
It's only you and me, and we just disagree.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
That was a fun moment.
That song?
No, not that song necessarily.
Okay.
What year is that from?
Band in concert for the first time.
What year is that from?
From Dustin's
childhood?
Hopefully, I was born when this song came out.
Your first dance or something?
That has to be a song from the formative years, because otherwise
that's
we're not
Dustin,
hearing it.
You know.
Yeah.
I just immediately heard that reference and I said, Ray, there we go. There's our rejoin for tomorrow with this play.
Oh my God, you guys.
Always be working.
There's always a song in your head. And then
1977. Yeah.
Wow.
Dustin remembers it well.
So let's leave it.
It was Red Grange of
it must
years.
Must have been on Magic 104.3 back in the day. I went back to my parents' car over and over.
I just know that's not country. And you guys make fun of my country music love, but that's not that.
Really?
This could be like today's country. That's kind of like today's
country. Kind of stuff you like?
No, it's not.
No?
You love this stuff.
Really?
Poppy classic rocky?
Yeah, well. No, there's a pop element to today's country.
It's only you and me. We might disagree. Breakups, bad relationships. That's
there's
a big
only,
part of the country.
Listen,
music scene, right?
I got drunk the day my mom got out of prison.
Does Drew Walker have to come in here and straighten everybody out? Does he have to come in here and give us a lesson in country music? No. Hey, we're talking to Akeem Hicks today.
Yes, we'll talk to Akeem in a little bit. Yeah. We had a texter check in saying if Josh Rosen were available for a third-round pick, would you take him? And I said, oh, God, yeah, immediately. And you got all offended. You what? You what? How? What about Mitch's psyche?
It was so far off my radar.
I mean, listen, there's no way they're
going to. Can you imagine?
There's no way they trade the guy for a third-round pick.
No way.
They cost him a first, a third, and a fifth.
Third and two thirds. What would it take to get Josh Rosen out of Arizona? More than a third round pick. But my first reaction was, no, come on. You don't want to create that situation here in Chicago.
What? You nuts? I would take that in a heartbeat. You know, here's the thing. That it's not about him being better than Mitch or what. It's about trading guys, having value. That's an asset. And if you had him, you know, Cliff Kingsbury was apparently pleased with his first workout. And, they have apparently not yet made a call on it.
Cliff Kingsbury, if he has you fooled at thinking that he was pleased with Josh Rosen's first workout, should audition for some part in Hollywood.
He blurted it out. He blurted it out.
Yeah, but you know what? That's just acting.
Well, whatever. I don't care. I'm just saying, you know, Michael Vick was signed out of prison and was traded and brought value. You can bring guys into the league. What quarterback do you have backing up Mitch that is better than Josh Rosen? And I know Josh Rosen doesn't fit entirely what the coach wants to do.
Chase Daniel right now.
Anybody? Really? I'd rather have Josh Rosen.
I'm just saying you asked who the best quarterback was. And
I know who he is.
Here's what Chase Daniel offered you, a controversy-free training camp.
You know what? If his psyche is so frail that he can't handle a guy behind him who's a good player, then Mitch is their guy. He's their guy. He knows the offense. He's stepping up this year. If you have a chance to get an asset, an undervalued asset, you take it and then you move it.
I would rather see you wrinkle up your face at my suggestion that the Bears should consider a fifth-round draft pick for Robbie Gould. I'm having more fun with that.
Oh, my God. This whole thing is absurd.
That was your response.
And what did Greg Gabriel say when he was asked that
no.
question?
He said no. And that would be a lot to give up for a kicker. But it is, you know, part the discussion, I guess, then would be, what would you give up for Robbie Gould?
Okay.
Do you want to have that conversation if you're Ryan Pace? I'm saying you have to at least consider it. You have to at least consider what you would give up.
Consider trading something for him?
Yeah.
All right. I'd give up Chris Blewett and Ian, whatever the hell his name
Elliot
is.
Elliot Fry.
The other guy, Redford Jones.
Redford Jones and
me.
There's a country music name. I could see Redford Jones opening for, Dierks Bentley.
Yeah. I love that. He's got a lonely old throat, just Redford Jones. Sullivan Bode might be the best country singer I've ever heard.
He's going to be great one day.
You take it and then you move it.
I would rather see you wrinkle up your face at my suggestion that the Bears should consider a fifth-round draft pick for Robbie Gould. I'm having more fun with that.
Oh, my God. This whole thing is absurd.
That was your response. Like,
And what did Greg Gabriel say when he was asked that question?
He said no. And that would be a lot to give up for a kicker. But it is, you know, part the discussion, I guess, then would be, what would you give up for Robbie Gould?
Okay.
Do you want to have that conversation if you're Ryan Pace? I'm saying you have to at least consider it. You have to at least consider what you would give up.
Consider trading something for him?
Yeah.
All right.
I'd
give up Chris Blewett and Ian, whatever the hell his name
Elliot
is.
Fry.
Elliot Fry. The other guy, Redford Jones.
Redford Jones and
me.
There's a country music name. I could see Redford Jones opening for, Dierks Bentley.
Yeah. I love that. He's got a lonely old throat, just Redford Jones. Sullivan Bode might be the best country singer I've ever heard.
He's going to be great one day.
Joe, you've heard that.
That's what you hear when you hear country music.
Song. Yeah.
That's all you hear when you hear country music is you hear like wailing of a child.
Wailing of a child is a good performer too. Wailing Jennings. All of us.
where quarterbacks are allowed to roam free, there's one man who strikes fear in the hearts of all.
We go get somebody.
He will haunt your dreams and give you nightmares. He is Hakeem Hicks.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Hakeem Hicks joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Boy, I mean, what more accolades could be thrown his way? Pro bowler, obviously a man that just won the Piccolo Award. He is the Bears' star defensive tackle. He's Hakeem Hicks.
What an intro.
Good morning, Hakeem. How are you?
Morning, Hakeem.
Good morning, guys. I missed you.
Yeah, we missed you too. So tell us about winning the Piccolo Award. I really liked what Roquan had to say about you. Great sense of humor, always making jokes and whatnot. He is a trustworthy guy who does the right things, busts his tail week in, week out. He gives you somebody to look up to. That is high praise from a young fella.
Oh, man. Yeah, man, that was a special moment. It was a special day altogether, man. Winning the Piccolo Award, it was huge for me just because it's everything that I try to embody as a player, right? Just a team guy, fun to be around, hardworking, not afraid to hit somebody in the mouth on the field. It's an all around award, and it was a award that's held in very high regard for our team. And I am honored to be on that list of guys such as Olin Krutz and other guys on that list that have won this award before me.
Hakeem, I thought it was interesting when Chuck Pagano introduced you. He told the story about him when he was the head coach of the Colts. He had sort of targeted you in the third round of the 2012 draft. And I think four picks before that, the Saints took you. Or otherwise, he kind of kidded you would have been a Colt. How aware were you of that? And also, Chuck Pagano's a guy that a lot of Chicago just getting to know now. And I think you saw yesterday another example of just how relatable he is, how good of a communicator he can be, and just his first impressions that you have of him.
Well, number one, you guys are going to love him. He's just an honest, hardworking guy, and he just brings his lunch pail, and he does his job. Throughout these past few months, you know, there's been a lot of transitions, right? Watching Vic leave and then watching him brought in, some guys leaving and moving on to different teams and stuff like that. And so you really don't really get a chance to know a guy, right? Even though we had some correspondence through the phone. But when we got back into Hallis Hall and just from day one, that first meeting, you could feel his energy. You could feel his knowledge for the game. You could feel the respect that he had not only for the game but for his players. And he got to see and watch us perform at a high level last year. And you can truly feel the excitement that he has to coach a group of guys like ourselves. And so we're excited and we're behind him. And we look forward to playing for him.
Will you follow the draft? Do you care about the draft? Do you just wait until you meet guys in the locker room?
Notoriously, no, I have not watched the draft. But over the past few years, you want to see who's coming in your building, right? You want to see what type of guy is getting drafted. And you want to see, you want to go back and check out his little highlight tape so you have something smart to say when he comes in the building. it's all in fun, and it's all about getting to know your new teammate. What I'll say is this, if we're going to talk about draft stuff, so Ryan Pace originally was one of the guys that drafted me into New Orleans.
Right.
And this year, the first pick is going to be in the third round. And we had a little joke going that you struck gold in the third round in 2012 when you drafted me. You're going to have to go back again and dig in there and get you a gym.
I think Bears fans would take that, Hakeem. I think they would be thrilled. You know, so last year they find Bilal Nichols late in the draft in the middle rounds, and he's a guy that came in day one and said that you were a big influence on him in terms of a leadership and mentor. If the guy who comes into the building, you know, this year's third, fourth, or fifth round pick, if he happens to be a defensive player, what advice do you give a rookie from day one?
Wow. First day advice. Well, number one, I like to get a feel of a guy out and get to know his personality and really see how much he wants it, right? Bilal was a special case because when he came in, I could see how hungry he was to be better, how much he would – like, I would catch him just out of the corner of my eye. I would catch him just watching my footwork and watching my hands and then trying to emulate that. And when you see a guy that wants it that bad, you can't help yourself. You want to give him everything that you have to offer. And so I love a rookie that really wants to learn and that really wants to be a better player.
I was really pleased. I don't care who they get in the draft. I was just pleased that they signed Ted Larson back because you like to beat the hell out of that guy in camp.
What a stud. That is a friend of mine, and I love battling with him. And it seems like we've known each other for years. You know what I mean? We got kind of a similar relationship to, me and Kyle, whereas, you know, we've just played each other a couple times. We love going against each other. And it's just fun.
You know, Akeem, since we talked to you last, the Bears have now signed three kickers, and they've gotten rid of one, Cody Parkey, and certainly another one is making news. Robbie Gould is wanting to get traded out of San Francisco. It's been no secret that he would like to come back and kick for the Bears. As a veteran on a team that has playoff aspirations, a Super Bowl contender in 2019, how are you watching this story unfold? How much do you want the Bears to address this, and what are your thoughts on the kicker situation?
I'm watching it as a person that is above my pay grade. I have no influence or idea of whether or not or if they want to bring Robbie back. I think that he is a great kicker. I think that he has performed at a high level for a number of years, and I wish the best for him, and I hope that he gets a chance to kick wherever he wants to kick. What I will say is this. They have a better eye on who should be kicking the ball upstairs than I do.
You know, it's interesting. We talk about Ryan Pace. You know, this will be his fifth year, and he's got a team that a lot of people think can contend for the Super Bowl, and I know your aspirations are to win another Super Bowl. What do you think of him? He was listed as the 15th best general manager in the league. 15, middle of the pack. Now, that's up 11. By the NFL, the NFL's own website, a writer there did a group of GMs. Is he better than that? And how good has he been? And how good is this team?
I guess you got to just look at his picks, right? And I'm going to be biased because I love the guy, and the guy has pretty much brought me into the NFL and watched me grow and invested in me. So I'm definitely going to be biased. But if you look besides that and you look at some of the free agents that he's brought in, if you look at some of the guys that he's drafted in mid to late rounds, he has everything that it takes to be the best GM in the league. So I have a lot of respect for him. And in my mind, he's rated higher than that. And I know across the league, he's thought of highly. So I can't speak on the article. I don't know the guy that wrote it. But I know where he sits for me.
So, Akeem, what did you do to decompress after the best season of your career, and how rejuvenated did you feel when you got back to Hallis Hall in April?
Family time, man. This was a, we all go seasons in life, right? And for me, just getting a chance this offseason to really just spend time with my family, reconnecting, working on relationships, It was a very I don't mean to get too yogi on you, but I really had a really good time just breathing my family there. So I was pretty happy this offseason. I feel really good about going into this season and ready to attack.
I know that, it had to be heartbreaking the way you guys lost that playoff game to the Eagles. Did you go back and watch that game? Do you just throw that one out? What are your thoughts when you look back on it?
Oh, no, man, you got to let it hurt. You got to let it hurt a little bit because if you really care about this game and you're really invested and if you really sacrifice as many things as I have going into, being a professional athlete, you embrace those moments, man. You embrace those moments of defeat. You embrace those moments of victory, man. You just got to take the time and understand I'm not saying it as if it's the easiest thing to do, but after doing this for enough years, I just have a way of handling it, and that's my way to just let it sit there and let it hurt and try to grow from that.
So how does that pain, Akeem, fit into the context of preparation for next season? I mean, is this a team that will use that as fuel? Is this a team that will say, okay, that was last year, everything is the focus on a new season and a new start? How do you mix it all together so it's useful?
Well, hopefully after experiencing that, when you come back or when you get back to training or when you get back to work, you have this desire to never let it happen again, to be ready to tear somebody's head off on that field before you allow them to dance and party on your sideline. You got to have a real burning desire to never feel it again. And that's part of why you let it sit and you let that feeling, you know, resonate with you. You got to be able to use it to come back and say, man, I will die before I allow another team, especially Philly, to dance on our field and enjoy their victory and continue into the playoffs.
We should let our listeners know that on June 15th, you are hosting a celebrity softball game at Schaumburg Bombers Park, 5:05 on that Saturday. And, you know, you're a pretty intimidating guy. I imagine with a bat in your hand, that would make people run.
Just picture me with a bat in my hand, standing at the plate, pointing like Babe Ruth, because I'm sending them all out the park.
That'll be fun.
I got to tell you, you might be the world's greatest softball player before you even swing. That's incredible.
It'll be fun, man, and I really hope Chicago comes out and supports the team, because it's not just going to be me there. We're going to have a heck of a star list, man. We're going to have Cody Whitehair, Mitch, all the boys from the defense. And it's going to be fun.
You know, I was talking to someone about you and your off season, and they said that the word used was omnipresent. That you are working out, you are at Halas Hall more than anyone. Have you really put that amount of time in? Do you feel like you're ready? You know, you're coming off, as David said, your best year of your career. This one could be better.
Mm-hmm. That's just who I am. An old coach once told me, he said, I've never seen a player get paid more and play better. And it's kind of been my personal mission to prove him wrong. It's what I desire. It's what I've invested all my time in. Football is my life, and it's been my life for a long time. I was actually home over the off season. I was just having a casual conversation with my dad. And through that conversation, I had somewhat of an epiphany. I realized that I've been playing football over half the time that I've been on this earth.
Wow.
And so it's just, it's a part of me. So I have nothing else to do but give my all to it. So, yeah, I like being at Halas Hall. If they made me a bed there, I'd sleep there.
Akeem, before we let you go, the newcomers to this defense, HaHa Clinton Dix comes over from Green Bay at safety, and Buster Skrien, the free agent nickelback, who replaces Bryce Callahan. What can you tell us about their assimilation into the defense and what you know about them?
I wish I could tell you more, man. But right now we're at the ground level. We're getting to know one another. We're experiencing this new building that we got, and we're trying to install our new defense, and it's a lot going on right now, so we're figuring it out. And once I get more detail on our new guys, the guys that we brought in, I'll make sure to give a call back in and we can chat some more.
Look forward to it.
Akeem, hey, thanks a ton.
Thanks, Akeem.
We had a ton of people checking in. You got people, everybody's fired up. It's going to be a great year for the Bears and certainly for you.
Talk to you soon.
All right, guys. See you on June 15th at the softball game, Boomer Stadium.
We'll be out there.
Akeem
Hicks,
Akeem.
Bears defensive lineman. Yeah, let's get out there. June 15th, Schaumburg Boomers. Just watch that show. Can you imagine? I mean, seriously, just look at Akeem. And again, I don't know how
pointing to left field
baseball, yeah. But that would really, if he gets a hold of a softball. Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's going a long way.
You know how people in the stands get injured with a baseball? He might be able to do that with a softball. Went through someone's chest.
Should be fun.
Jesus, that man has a hole in his chest. Smalley and Hall on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.